Hey, everybody, this is the Tim Blaine Band, and when we're not running through the streets naked, we're listening to 91.5 WMFO Medford.
WMFO.
Pesach.
Welcome to Brutal Brunch with your hosts Matt Moore and Matt Mastermaro.
What do any of you know about being brutal?
Featuring Massachusetts metal and punk.
Those lyrics about hell, demons, and doom. What if I told you it's all real?
WMFO Medford.
Welcome to prime time, bitch!
And good morning. Welcome to Brutal Brunch here on WMFO Medford 91.5 FM, streaming live on WMFO.org. And we have some very special guests in the studio this morning. Just to get some of the stuff out of the way, numbers here are 855-915-WMFO. That's 855-915-9636 or 781-350-3264. And as I said, we got some guests here. We're going to change up what we normally do here on Brutal Brunch. So typically an hour focused on local Massachusetts metal. But today we are switching it up. And across from me are Doug Flood, Emily DeWolf, and Jake Hudgens. Hello, guys.
How you doing?
Hey, how are you?
Thank you for trekking in here early on a Saturday morning, coming down all the way from New Hampshire. So thank you for joining. And, of course, I have Matt. We will still have our week in metal history, so don't worry, and our concert calendar. But today we are going to be discussing an event coming up in a few weeks in Londonderry, Pizza Stock 2. And...
it's actually Derry.
Oh, my bad. This is why you're here, to get all the details right. Yeah. So, basically, just take a step back to explain the connection here. So, Doug, a couple years ago, so I think it was on November 27th, we played a song by Doug's son, Jason Flood. And you guys, Jake, were you the one who saw the posting? I know that somebody...
Posting?
Saw,
yes. Yeah. Okay. Yes.
So we played a song called, or it was Monkey Wrench that mm-hmm. Jason sang. And that week, Jason had passed away. And fast forward to now, Doug is in studio and here to talk about Pizza Stock. So if you guys wanted to start and kind of give an overview of what the event this year is and what it entails.
Well, Pizza Stock is something that came out of Jake and Jason and a bunch of their friends, Sean and Ryan and stuff, Tim. When they were in 10th grade, wanted to make a big music festival at McGregor Park in Derry, right next to the high school. And so being 10th graders, they just talked about it and never was really able to do anything with it. And then after Jason's death, they decided they wanted to try to do it to, you know, keep him and the bands and everyone going. So they approached me and said, you know, we need an adult, we need some insurance, we need to pull this off. And I decided, you know, Jake took care of all the bands, and I got the pizza, you know, from Kendall Pond Pizza, one of Jason's coaches from futsal, owns three pizza shops, and he said, I'll supply the pizzas, and we hooked up with the food pantry, and before you knew it, we had a big event, and Jake knows the rest.
Yeah, it kind of just blew up. You never really think that you can do something like that. Say, hey, we're going to put on our own local music festival. It seems like something unattainable until you actually say, you look at the paperwork and say, this isn't that hard. All you got to do is get the bands together. So, yeah, we probably had about a dozen 14 acts last year. All local people, all people with ties, and all people who are pretty good at what they do. Pretty wide range in terms of genre. We had a country singer-songwriter kind of thing all the way through some harder acts, some stuff that would probably be more at home in this show than anywhere else. And, you know, we raised over $2,000 for the local soup kitchen, Sunshine Soup Kitchen, which is just,
it was
yeah.
It was very cool.
Awesome.
It's like a great event.
So, but pizza, other than pizza's awesome, right? Pizza has like a deeper connection to the whole.
Pizza is everything. It's a perfect food.
Well, because our first band, right, when Jason and I were just starting out playing in bands, you know, right in the beginning of high school, right, when you're supposed to start playing in bands, our band, MCOW, was a joke band. We were just kind of screwing around in a garage having fun, and every song was about pizza. That was kind of our shtick. So naturally, we had to tie the festival in, too, even if it was just kind of something that we were dreaming up in our heads.
Do you remember any of the song titles? Because that's one of the things I was thinking of.
Yeah, yesterday. we had Gimme Pizza, which was a Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen cover.
Amazing.
And we had one, oh man, it was called like Pizza Scars. And the lyrics were like, I was eating pizza and I got some sauce on the khakis and my mom said you should put some shout on that and I said, no way, mom. It was, it's kind of a...
I didn't hear that one.
Yeah, no. That was a... That was never performed for the public.
Yeah, that never came out of my garage.
No. It's a bonus track.
Yeah,
bonus track.
So you could do a live performance right now.
Absolutely not. Some of those things are meant to stay buried.
Okay. So this year's event, it takes place on Saturday, July 28th from 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. at McGregor Park in Derry. So you can talk. Can you talk a little bit about some of the bands that are going to be there and some of the other activities going on?
Sure. So we have, like I said, we pretty much run the gamut in terms of... genres. We have some indie bands, Chasing Mountains playing, some more hardcore bands, Valverde, Turner.
We have Apollo.
We have Apollo. Yep, that's also hardcore.
We have a country pop singer and Jenna Sullivan.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We got a 90s grunge band, kind of 60s hard rock.
Yeah, After Image. They're great. Yeah.
After Image.
They're from Keene State in New Hampshire. Yeah, they're really good.
Rebuff. They're the same sound.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. More of a pop band, Fourth Degree.
Yeah. We got we have a jazz quartet, bunch of kids from Pinkerton.
I'm trying to do a little something for everyone. Yeah.
So there'll be a sound, and we got the bands mixed up pretty good. So if you show up and you have to, you know, you don't want to hear a metal band, the next band's going to be kind of an indie folk or a country or a pop band, and then back to something a little harder, and it'll just take it right through. I mean, there's no downtime. Once we started about 11:15, we have bands playing right to about 8:30, as soon as it's dark.
Mm.
So.
Yeah. And on top of that, it's a nice open area, so you can bring a frisbee, chuck it around, play some lawn games even. Nice rousing game of cornhole, perhaps.
Yeah, there'll be lawn games for all the kids.
Yep.
There'll be an activities table for younger kids, face painting, coloring, things like that. And the field's big enough, so if you're not bombarded with sound, if you get further back where the vendors are. That's something else we've added this year, where a lot of vendors. We're sponsoring the Upper Room this year, which is a family resource center in Derry. They help families and teenagers try to become well-adjusted or, you know, find their way and things like that. And they have brought with them this year, we're going to have a vendor, NAMNI of New Hampshire, National Alliance on Mental Illness, also Center for Life Management from Derry, which helps. And the big one is South Central Public Health Network, who apparently oversee 11 or 12 communities with mental wellness and suicide prevention, and they help. They're more of a, you know, they just help all these towns get organized for that and stuff, and they're helping us get bigger. They're trying to get the two towns, Derry and Londonderry, to video stream it live on their local access TV all day. And things like that.
That'll be great. How'd that connection happen?
Brenda from the Upper Room and Renee Fellows, who used to be the board director at the Upper Room, the two of them, they're connected. This is what they do. They're the reason this year is going to be twice the size of last year.
That's great.
Hopefully twice as successful. Same number of bands. It's going to be the same vibe. It's going to be really nice. But we're just hoping it'll be bigger. It'll help more, get the word out to more people, you know.
It sounds like a great event.
Thank you.
You guys have done a great job.
Thank you.
What's it like, how do you find a jazz quartet and then like a heavy metal band at the same time? How do you do that? What's the process for that?
Well, I guess the nice part is that, you know, being in our situation, having a lot of friends who just came out of high school, it really, you get to, like, the high school's 3,000 kids, so there's people in there who have every interest. You know, there's a big jazz program there, and there's a big underground kind of hardcore scene. So you can pull from both of those. You can go to the local coffee shops and see your classmate who's performing with his acoustic guitar and say, hey, you want to swing by? You want to play a set? And by and large, everyone does because, well, one, there's not a whole lot of gigs in New Hampshire. And two, you know, people do want to help and, you know, chip in with the event. So.
Yeah.
And so, and I know that you guys brought in some music to play. So the first song that we're going to do is Cowardice. And obviously, one of the main reasons, I mean, we talked about pizza and your original band, and Jason also had a big, he was a musician himself. So do you want to talk about some of the, in addition to, it's MCOW, the band that you were in?
Okay, yes, yeah. Yes, that was just for fun.
Okay, and then some of the other bands he was in and how the song that you wanted to play first came about.
Sure. So I played with Jason in a couple bands, a couple more like classic rock kind of cover stuff. You know, just kind of go around, play at the local amusement park, things like that. So yeah, our band was called Flooding the BPs. And then he also kind of moonlighted with some of the harder stuff locally. His neighbor's band, Apollo. And one of the guys who is in that band, Josh Lawrence, recruited him to kind of do this side project with him, which was a lot more instrumental, kind of more intense stuff. So,
all right, excellent. So take a break and we'll play this first track, so Cowardice. And then we'll come back, talk a little bit more about some of the Jason himself and some of the kind of overall issues, especially a lot of current events going on. With Kate Spade and Anthony Bourdain, as well as a recent CDC report. So we'll talk about some of those issues when we come back. But first, this is Cowardice, featuring Jason Flood and Joshua Lawrence. You're listening to Real Brunch on WMFO Medford, 91.5 FM, streaming live on WMFO.org.
Olivia from Washington. Laid off and trying to keep our little kids from realizing that mommy and daddy haven't eaten in a while.
Roger from California. I'm grateful we could afford our son's surgery. I'm nervous that now we can't really afford food.
Daniel from California. Choosing whether to pay the rent or pay to fix the car to get to work doesn't leave us with much at all. Now we can't even pay for meals.
Donna from Louisiana. The storm just hit, and we went from donating to the food bank to needing it.
Keisha from South Carolina. I've been skipping meals so my two kids can eat, but filling up on water doesn't really work.
Hunger is a story we can end. End it at feedingamerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Broad Brunch here on WMFO Medford, 91.5 FM, streaming live on WMFO.org. For the PSA, you heard the song Cowardice. Pretty nice instrumental track. So thank you for bringing that in. And that's performed again by Jason Flood and Joshua Lawrence. We're here with Doug, Emily, and Jake discussing Pizza Stock, which it goes down in Derry, New Hampshire on Saturday, July 28th from 11 to 8. And going to talk a little bit more about that and some of the overarching issues. So obviously Pizza Stock is in memory of Jason Flood, who died by suicide. And I was wondering if you can talk a little bit about some of the goals of Pizza Stock, but also some of the other things that you've been working on. Doug, I know that you put together a team for a race every year. So just kind of talk a little bit about Jason, some of the events that you're doing to remember him.
Sure. One of the things when the kids were growing up, we did a lot of was small charity things. When he was in baseball as a little kid, we collected food for the soup kitchen. He was like 6-7 years old. And when he got a little older and played baseball, he played for the Jimmy Fund Baseball League. And in New England, he played for 2 years. And within those 2 years, there was over 3,000 kids each year playing. He was a top five fundraiser in New England both years. Working the gas station, collecting money and tips 40 hours a week. He didn't care. When he died and this Pizza Stock thing came about, or even before that, the teams, Wasson Pond, him and I used to run obstacle course races, and there's a local one up near us in Chester, New Hampshire called the Wasson Pond Pounder, which is run all by volunteers, and all their proceeds go to local charities. It was something him and I just really loved. We loved doing it. We loved the vibe of it. He actually skipped a state championship soccer game because it was scheduled on the same day as what we had signed up for the Pounder, because he just felt it was more important to run for that. And we had talked about trying to be part of that organization and working the charity one day and stuff. So after his passing, we had already signed up for the following year. And we were trying to put a small team together ourselves. And Jason was really, really smart kid, always in smart classes. He was in the PACE math program in middle school, and his teacher, Mike Carthus, had become friends with us as we moved on. He's a really athletic guy, he coaches track. He's got Jason to come back as a junior and a senior in high school. He was coaching the middle school kids in track. So he was part of our team and stuff. So we were trying to come up with names, and Jason was being a pain in the butt that night and wouldn't cooperate. So I looked at him, and I came up with this real geeky name. Like, I'm going to call it Team Stupendous for all you math nerds and stuff. And he just shrugged his shoulders and said, whatever. So I did it. And that year, only him and I ran. Everyone else had some other commitment. And then the following year, he passed away. We signed up for it, and then he died. And I was still committed to doing it, and before I knew, some friends started talking about it and said, hey, let's just see how many people we can get to run with you. And I expected maybe, 15, 20 people. We never had a team bigger than six. And before I knew it, we brought like 70 people to the Pounder, and it was the largest team that they had ever had to that point. So they made a very big contribution in Jason's name to the Sunshine Soup Kitchen for us. And this past year, we brought, we brought 80 people. They all signed up and just ran for a good, you know, ran for a good reason, just ran for a good cause. So that's, you know, Team Stupendous came out of just an actual aggravating night and kind of a little frustration, you know. I'm going to name you something stupid until you give me a better name. And he just said, being Jason, he's like, yeah, that's perfect. And walked away because he didn't want to be bothered.
That's great.
So, yeah, and hopefully we'll do it again next year. Hopefully, my goal will be to get 100 people, you know, bring it. They usually have about 1,000 there, so I figure if I can bring 10% of the people, that'd be pretty cool.
It's really great that that's just kind of a continuation of the service Jason would do when he's here, and you guys keep doing it now.
Yeah.
That he's moved on. I think that's great.
Yeah, that's where the charitable part of Pizza Stock, I think, comes into play is... I want to give it everything purpose. I want to, you know, I always said it was us four, me, my wife, my daughter, my son, village. And the way to make our world better is to make our village, take our little villages we touch and make them better. And it just grow that way. So I want to make Derry a better place. And I'm hoping events like this will do that. You know, I know it sounds a little cheesy or whatnot. I don't want to be too nice, but it just goes to show just a little bit of work. You can have a really cool time and do something positive at the same time. You know, like run an obstacle course race, throw a music festival. Simple, fun stuff.
That's great. That's kind of what makes it worth living. All the extra stuff that you get to do every weekend, every week.
Yeah. I think you've seen from maybe small things like that to even some bigger things on the national stage right now, what grassroots support can do and the change it can make. And the obstacle races are great. I've done a couple too in the past, and you definitely—they're nice because you don't have to be an elite runner to do them. You can just—you yeah, show
I can't
up,
even
you
run
have
a
fun.
Regular,
like it's not about who wins.
It's not a track. I can't do it.
It's awesome. Team Stupendous. I mean, we brought to Wasm Pond this year. Karthus, he came in second, but they have one competitive wave. So technically speaking, he came in second because one guy from the competitive wave beat his time. But out of the general public, he came in first, and we had the second to last place finisher and everything in between.
Mm-hmm.
It was a blast. The second to last place finisher was 80 years old.
It's one of those things where you have to like carry rocks up a hill and like do all that like
yep.
wild
yeah.
stuff.
Oh, yeah.
But the cool thing is there's no force mud. There's no flaming barbed wire like a Spartan or anything. It's really family oriented.
Okay, that's good.
It's cool obstacles. I'm surprised we haven't seen Matt yet. I'm really going to shame him into next year's. But like I said, everyone from 12-year-old kids to 80-year-old people do this. And it's all the money stay. Every ounce of proceeds stays in New Hampshire.
That's great.
So you're not lining corporate America's pockets.
Good.
That's what I like.
And so sort of on a broader perspective, how do you see the conversation currently in the country surrounding mental health and suicide prevention?
I'll leave that to Emily.
And obviously, that's a big topic. As we mentioned, with Kate Spade and Anthony Bourdain passing away, the CDC recently released a report saying that from 1999 to 2016, that suicide rates have increased about 25%. So obviously, it can come in cycles, but a lot of attention currently on the issues.
Yeah, it's definitely a big topic right now. Now, I do volunteer work with the crisis text line, the National Crisis Text Line, and we get a lot of emails in that community talking about the current events with the release of the TV show 13 Reasons Why, as well as the events in the medium like Kate Spade and Anthony Bourdain. So our text line... it meets with texters in any sort of crisis, so not just if there's a suicide threat or anything like that, but also if you're just in a time of crisis, anxiety attacks or relationship problems as well. But the text line is actually, it's celebrating its fifth year in operation in August, and there have been over 73 million texts since August of 2013 with people in crisis. And the whole goal of that is to kind of make volunteers aware. So all volunteers are trained to help people in crisis and to help them reach a cool calm. And definitely the work is something that volunteers take pride in, but it's also something that you can really see, especially the efforts in community today, that you can really see a lot of hurt there. But we have, if you're in crisis, you text HOME to 741741, and there should be a volunteer ready to meet with you in under 5 minutes is our goal. But
great, and so that's all via text?
Yeah, okay. So if you're scared of reaching out to maybe an in-person call line, mm-hmm. it's really great for someone who might be frightened to talk to a real person but still wants a connection with a real person. So definitely we have also the suicide hotline here, which is 1-800-273-8255 that people can call if they're in a time where they need to talk to someone. But we really want to be able to bring those different resources to our community and make sure people know that there's places they can reach out to if they're ever in a time of need, especially with the events going on in media today.
Yeah. I want to make sure that everyone realizes too that you not only have to have the phone number, but you need to use it. It was in Jason's phone. It was something we talked about. I mean, unfortunately, we didn't recognize his depression early enough. We thought a lot of it was just a moodiness and an edge that this kid had. I'm a really moody person. Everyone just called him a mini-me. Jake can attest to this kid would go from being the kindest, best hugger to just a miserable, mean SOB. And it was usually a light switch. But anyways, as we started to recognize that, and he asked for help, and we realized it was more than just moodiness, and he was suffering from depression, you know, and he asked for help, and he started to reach out for it. I don't know what prevented him from continuing to do so. Like I said, he had the phone number in his cell phone. He was using his cell phone that night, and he chose not to reach out for help when he needed it most. And I wanted, that's part of the goal, is we want to make everyone comfortable with it. I don't want it so in your face that it becomes standard or run-of-the-mill or just accepted, but I don't think we're near that yet. We really want to make sure people are comfortable with, you know, it's okay not to be all right. You know, just ask for help and take it. Know it's a long, slow process. It's not a quick fix. It's not, you know, you feel good today, tomorrow, for 2 weeks, great. But you need tools to understand when it comes back or creeps back, how to deal with it and how to recognize what's happening and find ways of working with it. And that's what we're hoping these organizations come into Pizza Stock for us. We'll get that information to these kids, and these kids will see that, hey, all these people think this is okay. So, you know, maybe it's not embarrassing to reach out. You know, and the work Emily does is just, it's really cool.
I think it's a great point. I think it makes sense for Pizza Stock, too, for kind of making sure that the young people who could be affected by this kind of thing are yeah. exposed to it. And like you're saying, with the stigma, if I yeah. tore my arm out of my socket, I'd call the doctor, right? I'm not right. embarrassed to call the doctor. So it's kind of the same right. same thing.
Jason was, like I said, incredibly smart. He was incredibly proud and stubborn, hated to be wrong. And I feel that part of his denial in all this, I mean, he would tell, you know, his mother would sit there and hug him and tell him that this is bigger than you. You need help. And he'd just look at her and say, I got it. I can do this. I'll be fine. And he was wrong. I'd rather someone say, hey, I'm weak and I can't fix this. Can you help me? And I just, you know, like you say, I want the kids to know that it's okay to do that. A lot of my postings on Facebook now, embarrass him, I'm a grown man on Facebook, but I've had, you know, I try to be as brutally honest on it as I can, and I've gotten some kids responding back with telling me that because of what they've read and the damage and destruction that they've seen it's left behind, it's made them think a little bit about their own issues and how they deal with them, and that's all we want. All we, you know, like I said, we all have a lot of friends, and you never know. I think there's a lot of people that were caught off guard by Jason. The theater group and the chorus group that he became so part of his senior year, you know, a lot of those kids only knew him his senior year. because of that. He was a soccer player before that. He was probably in class with most of those kids. Most of those kids were really smart. But I think a lot of them saw a different side of him once he joined the theater group and the chorus. And I think they were caught off guard. And that's I want people to know. Like you say, a broken arm, you're in the cast. If you're suffering from depression, you're either fake smiling or you're just grumpy, and there's something more to it.
Mm-hmm. And I like what you said about being brutally honest, because I think that that's definitely key. And the more people are willing to do that, not keeping even survivors of suicide, not keeping it to themselves and being more open about it, it will go a long way. And I think it's interesting with the awareness, and actually my uncle is the executive director of Samaritans in Boston, so locally that's the big support line, and there's been a big campaign with the MBTA posting the number and getting the word out there. But it is true, too, that just getting the number out, I think it's been interesting kind of more and more, which again I think is a good thing, to get more of a dialogue going where people will report on obviously high-profile deaths like Kate Spade and Anthony Bourdain, and sort of it almost becomes just kind of rote of, you know, at the bottom of the article, they'll be like, oh, if you or anybody needs help, here's the national hotline. But you have more people who are suffering from depression kind of speaking out and being like, it's, you can put the number out there, but you need more than that. Like, it's great to do, but just by, like, telling somebody that you may know going through depression or whatever, to being like, here's this number, here's the support, is not necessarily enough, and that there's more to it. So you have to feel comfortable and be willing to call a number or ask for help. So I think that there's a lot more discussion about that now, too.
I read in a book shortly after Jason's death, someone gave to me, called The Beautiful Hair. A mother in Georgia lost her son. He was a musician. And the line she put in there that has stuck with me the entire time, and make sure is that in every way possible I can just inform people, is people suffering from depression are the best liars on the earth. They feel like they're being a burden to the people around them, so they don't want to ask for help. And that's part of the problem. You need to let them know first, you know, you're not a problem. It's not a burden. You know, you need help, ask for it. It's something we always talked about, and we haven't shied away from. You know, the minute, you know, shortly after his death, I wanted to make sure everyone knew that he died by suicide, and it was wrong. There was nothing good about it, and stuff like that. It just, I want to get the word out there to ask for help. Don't, you know, it doesn't have to be like this.
And Emily, we actually neglected to say at the start of the show that you currently attend Tufts, and Jake here at BU.
Yep.
And I was just wondering, kind of, even though it is the summer right now, but we are on Tufts Radio. And how do you notice the issue on college campuses right now? Because obviously, I mean, suicide is something that affects all demographics, suicide and depression. And so is that something you see that there's good support? Do you think it varies by school or demographic?
I definitely noticed here at Tufts they have a lot of signs posted for our student-run crisis line, Ears for Peers, that you can, there's a text line as well as a call line for that, and it's student-run, and the counseling department helps train students for that. They have those posted in almost every bathroom as well as the counseling lines, but it's definitely something that I'm on Tufts Active Minds on campus. And it's something that our club really looks for, trying to even broaden that, because counseling is only offered for certain semesters because of understaffing, but it's definitely something that we want to get out for students. I know we all received an email after Anthony Bourdain and Kate Spade reiterating what's available on campus for students. So it's definitely something that Tufts is making available to students, and I think whether or not the students take that is really, it varies individually.
Yeah, at BU at least, there are the text lines, there's the hotlines, there are the traditional things. But my fear is that there isn't enough in-person help, in-person kind of opportunities and resources in that way. Because there's only so much you can do over a phone, I think. Now you can, and it's hard to make that phone call in the first place. Like, I remember over the winter, I had a situation where I had a suicidal friend and I had to call 911. And it was so hard for me to make that phone call. I can't imagine how hard it would have to be for you yourself to make that, to say, to just completely, like, give over the, your own problems to someone else, especially if you're someone like Jason who always liked to do it your own way. So, yeah, I think the text line and the phone lines are great, but I think if there were really some way to kind of increase the in-person presence, I think that would be the next step in really combating this illness.
So. Yeah, and I think in general that's a huge issue because people always, I mean, you talk about any kind of national tragedy that happens, people say we have to focus more on mental health, but there's only so many psychologists that are available, and then trying to find, like, if you could be ready and willing, but being able to actually track somebody down, you have the whole health insurance question, you have the availability of all these other complications that go into it. Yeah. Go ahead.
I was just say that was one of the biggest problems in the beginning was when he came to us for help and we found the help, you know, his first appointment was 3 weeks out and basically was told, well, if there's an emergency, call this number. And then after that, and some of it was based on Jason's decision, but it was only a bi-weekly meeting. And I'm like, you got to build up a repertoire with this guy faster. You got to get comfortable with this guy faster. This is, you know, too long. You know, once again, someone like Jason who just, he was guarded at times with his information and something this personal, it was going to take a lot to get this out of him. I was just shocked at how, I don't want to say careless, but it's just casual they were about, all right, so these are your appointments. And he went to, I believe, 3 council meetings and then just said he was all set, he was done. That's, you know, trying to get people together, like Jake said. We talked about it. I knew he was sad, and I unfortunately didn't listen to his words correctly. And that's what I hope to get out of this. And like Jake said, you know, the numbers are good. You got to look at it on a big scale, but just in your own, dumb it down, simple it down. Talk to your friends. Listen to your friends. Look at your friends. Same thing with your kids. You know, stop being in a hurry to get to the next step. Just listen to the actual words they're saying. And, you know, there's that fine line between being, you know, I read a good article this past week, you know, the difference between sad and depressed. You know, there are big differences. And once you can identify those, you go a long way. But it takes a little bit of work. It takes time. And unfortunately, nowadays, no one has time.
I think what you were saying about Pizza Stock trying to make Derry a better town, I think that's going to be one of the solutions here, right, is to say there's like a separate set of eyes for everybody. So if everybody has more knowledge on what the disease is, on what depression is, it's not just like a zero sum. There's just one goalkeeper there, just the family. It's the friends and cousins and whomever. But that deals with exposure. Like, I know that I might not recognize the signs of depression in someone, my neighbor, but I might, you know, with someone else. But you need that knowledge base for everyone first, which I think is another thing that's great about Pizza Stock.
Yeah, and I think also just having a consistent annual event or multiple events is good, because right now, like we said, with the high profile deaths, it's in the spotlight right now, but then what happens in the next couple of years kind of fades away. You saw that with Robin Williams in the past and other celebrities, so to keep it constantly out there it will go a long way.
Yeah, I was surprised how fast Chester Bennington and
Chris Cornell
kind of subsided. I mean, those two hit me hard. Especially Chester Bennington was one of, Jason was in middle school, was one of his favorites. We were supposed to take him to see him at the Garden, and 3 days before we were supposed to go to the Garden in February to see them, he broke his leg, did parkour lessons of all things. He's like, Dad, I want to take parkour. I'm like, okay, I'll pay someone to teach you so you don't break your leg on a building somewhere. And what'd he do? 2 lessons in, broke his leg. So he missed Lincoln Park. But as he grew older, it wasn't a big band to him. But there was a good window where it was a very important band where he was young and influential. And that one hit me. And it kind of, like you say, went away quickly in the news. It was sad.
Yeah, that was a big. We actually had a Linkin Park tribute show on here. Matt, you weren't here, but had somebody else, one of my other friends from New Hampshire, drove down. We did played all Linkin Park that week.
Well, that'd be a pretty cool show.
All right, so let's We've got another tune to spin, so if you want to kind of talk a little bit about the background of this track, we're going to play Better Place, Better Time.
Yeah, Jason had a few favorite bands. Him and I saw the Dropkick Murphys 10 to 12 times, the Mighty Mighty Bosstones the same number of times. Jason's true love for music was ska music. I bet to say if he was here, he'd say his favorite band was Streetlight Manifesto. All his solo work in coffee shops he did, he always did a Tokay song, which is Streetlight's singer, and Tokay's had several bands, and he reworks his own music acoustically. And this is a really cool anti-suicide song with a ton of lyrics that blew my mind that he could memorize them. Never mind memorize and play a guitar at the same time. He would find a song he wanted to do. He'd take his little iPod and sit on his bed, listen to it, YouTube the lyrics, and just memorize it in 2 weeks and go play it. The song that you're hearing now is the second attempt at it. The first one he kind of butchered in the middle and got lost. Always fought through it, but this one here he nailed. And when he did it, you know, me and another soccer mom looked at each other and were like, "Kid's gonna do all right. You know, he's not gonna be Bob Dylan, but he's gonna be able to play bars and stuff moving forward." And you know, it was an important song. We have it written on his gravestone. I think that if you listen to the lyrics, it really hits home. You know, he knew it, and he believed it, but somehow something, and this is where I feel depression is definitely an illness. It controlled his mind. It did something to him, because, you know, Jake knows, he believed this stuff. He believed these lyrics, and I don't know. That's why I picked this song.
All right, excellent. So we'll play that now, then we'll be back. I think we have time for a quick metal history, and then we'll be wrapping things up. So, and you're listening to Brutal Brunch here on WMFO Medford, 91.5 FM, streaming live on WMFO.org.
She said as long as she has someone here to make it clear she doesn't need to solve them. Yeah, to solve them. And she said this loneliness, it's killing me. It's filling me with anger and resentment. Yeah, resentment. And she said it's turning me into someone I never thought I'd have to be again.
Originally a Streetlight Manifesto song, covered by their lead singer, Tokay. His acoustic stuff, so that's what I played.
All right, so as you just heard, that was A Better Place, A Better Time, solo version by Jason Flood. And you're listening here to Brutal Brunch, WMFO Medford, 91.5 FM, streaming live on WMFO.org. Again, we have Doug, Emily, and JK. We've been talking about Pizza Stock 2, which is coming up in a couple weeks. And we will be back to wrap things up about that. But first, we're going to switch gears a little bit, and Matt's going to do the greatest hits of metal history.
Let's really quickly switch gears, but more important than anything I'm going to say is to go to pizzastock.org. Pizza Stock 2, fundraising event held in memory of Jason Flood at Derry, New Hampshire. Saturday, July 28th, 2018, from 11 to 8 p.m. at McGregor Park. It's free. And here's the choicest picks from this week in metal history, from July 1st to the 7th, just things that I thought were interesting. Obviously, the first thing I thought was interesting was that Man of War releases Into Glory Ride, which I'll play a little bit of here. Ox 2 or something like that? Man of War, you guys know Man of War?
Yeah, I heard the name.
So, Man of War is the Guinness Book of World Records for the loudest band ever. They also have a record for playing the longest concert ever.
Of course.
They played a concert in somewhere far away in Bulgaria at the Kavarna Rock Fest for 5 hours. I don't know what that's all about. There's like all sorts of clips. I just want to show you guys. That's what a metal band's supposed to look like.
Absolutely.
Which is to say, chaps and furry boots and swords and so forth. Things of that nature.
I mean, Death to False Metal, right?
Death to False Metal is what they're credited with, and Death to False Metal is one of those phrases that's been just destroyed by everyone else who said it. July 3rd, 2000, speaking of bands that Matt likes, In Flames released Clayman. We still can't find their In Flames branded vodka, which
yeah,
we've been looking for the last 4 years.
We need somebody to go to Sweden for us.
We have to go to Sweden to get it. In Flames.
Melodic death metal.
They're good. Melodic death metal. Speaking of metal genres and mush-mashing things together. To round it out for this week in metal history, I want to play Fade to Black by Flotsam and Jetsam from July 4th, 1986. Flotsam and Jetsam is Jason Newsted's band before he went over to Metallica. He was the bass player and lead lyricist on Flotsam and Jetsam, which is obviously a thrash metal band. And this is his last album before he took over for Cliff Burton and Metallica. And I thought it was interesting because this song is called Fade to Black, and obviously Metallica is Fade to Black.
Excellent.
Anyway,
guys, great selection of genres as usual. Real quick, I'll do a rundown of
you guys barely escaped a Behemoth song.
Oh, that would be epic. All right, so real quick, the shows that you can see in the upcoming week. All metal shows, of course. So starting tonight at Ralph's, it's Deceased, Blood Feast, Malleus, Summoning Hate, Apollyon, and HOF. At Great Scott, you can see Lord Almighty, Panzer Bastard, Upheaval, and Gru. Matt, that's up your alley.
It is.
Tuesday, July 10th at Midway Cafe. You can see Fable Grazer, The Modern Voice, Grex, and Brown Laser. So if you like some instrumental metal. Wednesday, July 11th at The Palladium, it's Ex Mortis with The Absence, Hatchet, Grabadon, Epicenter, and The Absent Mind. Thursday, July 12th at O'Brien's Pub, you can see Aneurysm, Ion, Han, and Husbandry. And the Middle East, it's Suffer on Acid, Leatherlung, Maniac, and Corrode. And finally, on Friday the 13th of July, at once, you can see Worshipper, The Devil's Twins, Tiger Man, Woe, and Heavy Necker. At The Palladium, it's Puddle of Mud. I really wish they'd stop enabling that guy. Inherit the Earth, Bad Marriage, Mammothor, Blind Revision, Carpathia, Frenemy, Without Warning, Algorithm, Stylized, so you should look that one up, SPC, and 16x20. And at the Middle East, it's Artificial Brain, Void Spawn, Avatern, and Mucophagus.
So Gru is pick of the week there for me.
Gru and Epicenter, right?
Gru and Epicenter. Isn't once closing and then reopening? Did you see that?
I have no idea. Are they?
I think they're going to close for the summer and then reopen to kind of pay some bills and fix some stuff.
Interesting. Right. Hopefully they do reopen, unlike some other venues here.
Yeah.
And then also an upcoming show we want to mention is the Crankin' and Skankin' Fest out at the Palladium, Saturday, August 25th, featuring the Mighty Mighty Bosstones, Toots and the Maytails, Bouncing Souls, and Fishbone. And I don't know, pretty much everybody else, I think, is going other than me.
Well, it's a secret that I'm going.
No, we'll definitely be there.
I can't wait for Fishbone. It's
gonna
be great.
It's gonna be a fun concert. It's outside. I've actually seen outside at the Palladium.
Well, I've been told that there is no outside venue at the Palladium, so it's in the parking lot.
Okay, that's outside.
That's what I've been told. I can hardly wait. That dampened my enthusiasm a little.
Yeah,
but I don't want to be crowd surfing and get dropped at on a parking lot.
No. Well, the courthouse is right there, so you can just run right next door and we'll file a suit for you.
There you go. It's cool. We saw. Real Big Fish at the place in Hampton.
Hampton Casino?
Yeah, the Hampton Beach Casino. The one time Jason and I crowd surfed together.
Oh, wow.
We used to go to, like I say, the Murphy shows and the Boston's. We'd always try to get Jason. We'd always be up front near the stage. We'd always try to get him to crowd surf. Wouldn't do it. So we were Real Big Fish, and he finally did it. So I looked at someone and said, hoist this 50-year-old man up. I got one opportunity to crowd surf with my son. I'm going to do it. And they dropped me over by the stage, and one of the guys leaned over and high-fived me and said, way to go, old man.
That's awesome.
It's cool that I got to crowd surf with them once.
That's great.
I will be at Warped Tour, and I think Real Big Fish is playing.
Yeah, they are.
The last Warped Tour.
And the Interrupters are playing, too.
Yes.
We met them out on the sidewalk down. We drove down to Yale University, wherever that is in Connecticut. Hartford, Connecticut.
Hartford.
And to see the Boston's and the Interrupters, we didn't get home till like 3 in the morning from that. But we met the Interrupters out on the sidewalk, and they loved Jason's shirt. He had a Star Wars shirt on. They thought it was cool. The stuff. We got pictures of that stuff. So they had a lot of cool things. Good stuff with music.
Great.
Excellent. So again, go to Pizza Stock. Pizza Stock 2 is going to be Saturday, July 28th from 11 to 8 p.m. at McGregor Park in Derry, New Hampshire. A day of music, pizza, and much more. And presented by the sponsors, you have The Grind, Kendall Pond Pizza, and Brownwell Insurance Center. Did we miss anybody?
Smash Music has donated a guitar for us to raffle off. It's really cool. That's why my sponsors here, The Grind, Kendall Pond Pizza, and Brownwell Insurance, have picked up the entire tab. So every dollar we generate is going right to the upper room, so there's no expense, thanks to those guys. The Grind, Mel Davis and Pat McDermott from Kendall Pond Pizza were right there in the beginning last year. They're the reasons why it was able to be bigger than what Jake and I envisioned it being. You know, I thought we'd buy 12 pizzas and sell them, and you know, we'd hand the Sunshine Soup Kitchen a couple $100. We ended up going through 45 pizzas and generating over $2,200 that we were able to give them. It was really cool.
You got to dream big, Doug.
So this year we're dreaming even bigger.
All right.
Awesome. So for more information, check out pizzastock.org. You can also visit on Facebook. The page is Jason Flood Memorial page. So for details, you can follow them on Facebook as well. And before we sign off, any last information you guys want to get out there?
Did you give out the text line? I know we talked about it, but I don't know if you gave out the number.
Yeah, so the text line, if you're ever in crisis, you can text HOME, H-O-M-E, to 741-741. and you'll be connected with an in-person volunteer.
All right, excellent. Thank you very much. Again, thank you very much for trekking down from New Hampshire this morning, nice and early, for a metal radio show on college radio.
You guys are the earliest guests we've ever had.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you. And thank so we're going to sign off. Let's do Untitled by Flooding the BPs. Jake, do you want any background information about this song? Or
not at all. It's a mystery.
All right. Ooh. Excellent. Let's play. We'll sign off with that. Again, this is Untitled by Flooding the BPs. Thank you again to Doug, Emily, and Jake for joining us this morning. Stay tuned for Mike on the Mic, and we will be back next weekend, same time, same place. Until then, stay brutal.
This will be Untitled for now, I suppose. All right. Let's do this thing.